you. Oh,
chair. Oh, nice jacket.
Yeah,
you guys all set?
All right. Welcome, everybody. I just wanted to open up by trying to put a little wrap up on where we've gone from the end of last season, of course, to where we are today. As we've stated before, you know, obviously when we finished 8-8, we weren't good enough. And quite honestly, as I stated before, it was the talent that we had assembled was an 8-8 team. Any other explanation than that is, I think, is incorrect. So obviously the plan was to be able to upgrade the team that we're going to put on the field in 2013. Just to review the departures from last year's team, of course, Mike Wallace left, Rashard Mendenhall, Keenan Lewis, Ryan Mundy, and Will Allen. And then we also terminated James Harrison. The retentions, we kept Isaac Redmond, David Johnson, Plexico Burris, Ramon Foster, Larry Foote, and Greg Warren. And then most recently, we were able to hold on to Emmanuel Sanders and Steve McClendon. Steve, for a longer-term deal, which we were excited about, being able to keep both those young guys on the squad. And then outside, we went and we signed Bruce Gradkowski. And then we brought back Matt Spaeth and William Gay. And in both Matt's case and in William's case, it was intriguing to us to be able to add those guys back because, well, obviously we had a familiarity with them and they were, you know, they were part of our success in the past. We anticipated some things at the corner position, quite honestly, with Keenan, that we felt that to get a guy like William Gay back was very important because Gay had been a part of our packages before and he was a nice fit for where we wanted to be in 2013. And again, with Heath Miller's health, to get a guy like Matt back in, who's been a starter for us in the past, been a reliable backup, he, in addition to DJ, it was real important to get that depth back at the tight end position because we won't know where Heath is health-wise until later on in the year. So realistically, that puts us at 65 guys right now. Of course, we have 8 draft picks. We have 1 compensatory that we picked up, ironically, for William Gay in the 6th round. So we'll have 8 picks. We're at 65 right now. We'll go to 90. So we'll be adding 25 guys over the weekend, and we're excited about that. You know, the draft, as always, it's shaped up. We think we're in real good shape. We're picking 17th. We'll be picking from a pool of about 150 guys that we've identified. Realistically, I think there's probably, in this group, there's probably 6 to 8 guys that we think are special players. Beyond that, there's a nice group of potential starters that I think you'll be looking at in rounds 2 and 3. And then beyond that, in 4 through 7, we'll be looking at depth. And realistically, you know, I'm always going to be optimistic about the group, but I can say the numbers are probably a little lower or slighter. The tight ends, the interior offensive linemen, and the traditional 34 defensive ends. There's probably not a lot of deep, it's not a deep pool at those positions. Coach?
You know, it's been a good process for me and the rest of the coaching staff. It's business as usual for us. Kevin and the scouting department, they work at this from a year-round basis standpoint. We kind of get on the moving train, if you will, starting down in Mobile. Kevin and I have spent a great deal of time together scouring the country from Mobile to Indy to Pro Days and, of course, the last month or so in the draft room developing the board. It's been a whirlwind. Feel very comfortable and familiar with this draft class. There are a number of capable guys that can fill out the ranks and play good quality ball for us here in 13 and beyond. Just really excited. We got some finishing touches to do in regards to our readiness. We'll continue to do that up until Thursday afternoon or evening. But the process has been a good one for us. It's been very fluid and comfortable. We come together in a very fluid manner, scouts and coaches, and really do a nice job of pooling ideas and thoughts regarding this class, and it's been a good process.
Question? You had mentioned
rounds one through three as being a nice group of potential starters. Is it any more important for a guy that you bring in, especially number one, to come in and play or certainly contribute right away?
I think we've always stated that. You have to have production from one, two, and three. When you don't, you have a hole. And that'll be the expectations for whoever we end up with at one. Right. When they play and how much they play, of course, Coach Tomlin and his staff decides that. And quite honestly, I don't envision anybody coming in and being an impact in year one. I never do, because I think there's always a growing process that has to occur.
Yeah, Jerry, when we put that declaration on them, we're talking about their pedigree. When they get on the field, of course, is due to a myriad of circumstances, some of which involve them, some of which doesn't.
Mike, any update on Sean Spencer's situation and where he's at?
Really none at this point. Of course, he's continuing to work and doing a nice job of it, aggressively attacking the rehab. But we know that this is going to be a process in terms of him marching his way back. But we like his demeanor and his availability throughout this process.
Kevin, we have David Castro. He was injured most of last season. Do you feel like you already have a top draft choice in place here who's going to play most of this season?
Well, obviously with David and even Mike Adams and Sean, this was just asked about, all three of those kids suffered pretty serious injuries. Of course, Sean's being the worst. Mike and David, they weren't season-ending issues. So we're excited to have David back in the mix with a year under his belt. Hopefully he is healthy, but hopefully he grew and learned from even the time he wasn't practicing or playing. And he'll be caught up, but he still should be fresh, and we're excited he's part of it.
And I'll say this, the designation to return, availability of that place to place him was very beneficial for him and for us. We know a lot more about what he's capable of, and I'm sure he's a lot more ready to meet the challenges of 13 because he had that opportunity to return.
When we say six or eight very special players in the draft, is that at 16 or in the draft overall? At 17 or in the draft overall?
No, I think you look at that group, and it's not unusual. That's usually a group I think everybody can identify and say these kids should be special players, be it with us or be it with somebody else. And, the rest of them are going to be – there's going to be some really good players in that group too. What comes to us at 17, who knows? I doubt that we move up. I think the more picks we have, the better in this draft particularly. But there will be a good player at 17. There's no question about that.
When you say the more picks, the better, that might hint that you wouldn't mind moving down and getting more picks.
We're open to either, as always. But this draft in particular, I think there's nice quality available in 2 through 4 as well.
Are any of the other guys who ended the season on injured list or had procedures or anything, Marcus Gilbert, Mike Adams, do you expect those guys to be healthy here a little bit, to do a little bit of stuff?
Yeah, they're all progressing at different stages. And, we have availability dates for what we're projecting, so we'll just see how those play out. Some will be available for the OTAs. Some maybe for the June mini camp, and then some maybe not until training camp. But optimistically, they'll all return at some point.
Yeah, and really all kind of proceeding according to plan at this juncture. No surprises positively or negatively.
Is there one position that's maybe deeper than some others here with this year's draft?
Not really. Like I said, the only ones that are the numbers are down are the tight ends, the interior line, and the 34 ends, which is a little concerning with the 34 ends because it's about 14 teams that are playing our scheme right now. So that's a position where there's just not a lot of guys. But across the board, the other positions, it's probably up to the team's preferences, what they like, and, how much they like them. But I think you'll have at least a selection to pick from. A lot of talk about the quarterback position not being particularly, special this year, and I disagree with that. I think that group of quarterbacks, you'll have starters emerge from that group. I don't think anybody sat here last year and was ready to deem Russell Wilson a starter, Pro Bowl, playoff caliber quarterback, and he came out and surpassed expectations, quite honestly. And I think this group, you'll see players pop out of the quarterback position that will be starters and some may be stars.
And I think that the draft is deep in the secondary as it has been the last number of years, maybe just due to the amount of spread football played in college and the number of sub packages that are employed by defenses. I think that, you know, corners and sub package corners and hybrid safeties are plenty, but it really that's been the case for the last number of years.
Mike, you've lost a really good outside pass rusher, obviously, in Greens to the Bengals, and there are some guys that are projected to be perhaps mid-first-round picks that could be outside pass rushers that have medical red flags. How much attention have you been paying to some of those guys and perhaps their medical issues?
Really, no more attention than we've paid to the other guys that are considered ones at other positions. Obviously, some things that we look at hardcore are obviously medical and character issues, and we deal with those on a case-by-case basis, but really no more than we have any other position. We give it all its due diligence.
Coach and Mike, you know, teams go through a process where they change players in and out because of business reasons and because of age or whatever. And, you know, fans are sort of fickle, and they look at the changes that have been made, and they say, oh, boy, you know, we don't have a chance this season in terms of a Steeler fan. What can you say to them to assure them that you're doing everything in your power, which we know you are as media types, but to the fans that you're putting the best team possible on the field?
All we try to do is add as many good players as we can. It's not real scientific. There are going to be subtractions every year. It's usually 14 to 20 guys per team turnover around the league. So it's not uncommon that there's change. Sometimes the change is due to finances from a cap standpoint. Sometimes it's due to needing a change. And I think, quite honestly, again, when you go 8-8, it's probably a combination of both for us. As I stated before, if we had the same team that we had last year, would be silly to expect different results. So it's our job to try to improve that. And all we can tell the fans is we're working towards that end. You'll be able to judge us in February whether we got the job done or not.
And to add to that, you know, our goals and mentality have not and will not change. We desire to be a legitimate competitors for the Lombardi Trophy each and every year. In 2013 is no different than 12 or 11 or 15 or 16 for that matter. That goal and that mentality and that approach will never change.
Kevin, with the Manny Sanders situation, when Belichick in New England did the deal with Wes Welker, they talked about it, and then they went ahead and made a trade instead of giving him the offer sheet. Did you have any contact with their front office, or did they come to you and look to explore a deal as opposed to just matching the offer?
No, rules prohibit those types of conversations. And any restricted free agent situation, if somebody's flirting with one of your players or talking to them or wanting to sign them, ultimately, we get to make the decision, and that's how we felt throughout the whole process. There's nothing you can do. It's well within the rules to have a player visit and to negotiate a contract and to sign him, as Emmanuel did. But all along, we knew that the decision was ours and ours alone. It wasn't the player's decision. It wasn't another team's decision. It was our decision, and we were very happy that we were able to keep him. And, you know, maybe at some point we can extend Emmanuel to have him here on a longer-term basis. I know he's here. He's already here working. I think he's very positive and very upbeat about being here and wanting to be here, and that's all good.
And on that front, were you having contract negotiations with Steve and his agent before the word came out about possible interest by Green Bay?
Quite honestly, Steve was someone we would have identified in the summer as a potential signee. When the interest in Steve picked up with Green Bay, we had the discussion with his agent, and it was a very easy negotiation because the player wanted to be here first and foremost. Sometimes they have to take those trips just to confirm interest in other teams, and that's fine. Again, that's well within the rules. But Steve was somebody that we had planned on talking to in the summer when we traditionally get through this period of free agency, the draft, and we'll usually sign future guys to longer term deals in the summer, and he was one of those guys.
Kevin, are you going to have a lot of wiggle room when you get that June 1st money in? Is that going to give you enough room to do some extensions?
Not really. It's not like it's we're gonna hit the lottery because you still have to compensate for these draft picks. You know, the 8 draft picks will start counting against the cap once they're signed. So that's all part of of the monies that we will pick up in June. But there's still potential for us to sign a veteran free agent here or there, depending on how we come out of this draft. And other teams will flush some veteran players out, and we have to be ready. If we can, we have to be ready to add a player that we think can help us.
When will you find out what your rookie cap is?
After the actual picks.
Can you kind of project that now? Kind of...
No, because we don't know exactly where we'll be picking. I mean, as of now we do, but that may change come Thursday through Saturday.
Mike, do you have to add a running back beyond the draft? Do you need to get somebody else in there? Just sure.
Really, it depends on how the draft unfolds and what we do prior to the draft. Obviously, we have a number of days before the draft. And, you know, like Kevin has said numerous times, as have I, we're interested in adding to this football team and all within all the avenues afforded to us within the system. Obviously, that's free agency and the draft, and you know, we don't lean one way or the other in terms of utilizing any of those vehicles.
What do you think about or your thoughts on the deepness of the wide receivers in the draft? That's something that you would still consider.
There's a good group. There's, you know, there's some big ones. There's some small ones. There's some return capable ones. It's a nice variety, and it's something that, you know, again, you feel good about looking at that group and knowing that you could. There's certainly guys that can help us, but they come in different shapes and sizes as well.
Just like we were talking earlier about the number of secondary people, I think you can say the same thing about wide receivers. It's the nature of the college game over the last number of years. There are a number of guys available in the draft with in-game catch experience. The way the ball is thrown and caught in college football provides a unique, you know, reference from an experience standpoint. There are a number of receivers that have caught a lot of footballs in game-like situations, and it makes the, you know, the evaluation an easier one than if you didn't have that visual reference.
Mike, by the same token, is it tough to kind of look at the running backs who are running out of that spread offense because it's not what you guys do?
I think that we've been looking at it now for a number of years where it's getting easier and easier to make the evaluation relative to the NFL game. There are a number of guys playing in the NFL now with great success that played in similar offenses, and you look at their positives and negatives and their history within the league, and it helps you deal with the potential of projecting some of these guys.
Kevin, after the last couple drafts, you found yourself explaining in some detail why you would take a chance on a player who, I guess the phrase, there's a red flag due to character issues or whatever. Are you any more or less disposed to take a player like that, you know, given what's gone on the last couple of years?
No, it's been the same. It's been the same evaluation, the same process. You know, when you try to figure out a player's character, it starts with the reports from college that we get. It follows up with our own personal interviews and background checks. And Coach and I did a lot of follow-up work this past spring when we visited the pro days. We actually tried to be a little more proactive in trying to meet families. It's something that Coach Tomlin started 3 years ago. After we draft players, we started to bring some families in to get to know the kids that we drafted. And, you know, sometimes you get the opportunity at a pro day, sometimes you don't, depending on where the kid's family lives. But we did try to make a conscious effort to extend the program he started 3 years ago of visiting with families to extend to a pre-draft thing. So I think that would be the only difference. All the background checks, all the psychological examinations or interviews that we do is exactly the same.
Has there been a difference with the families you've met in the past?
I just think it helps us develop more complete picture about who and what a player is, and maybe more importantly, what he's capable of being. And I think the more you look at where they come from and who they come from, it helps you, you know, paint that well-rounded picture.
Since we last spoke, have you gotten any more of a prognosis on when Keith might be available again? How does his health status impact when or how you might be looking at the tight ends?
No new news there. Kevin talked about some of the things that we've done to insulate us at the tight end position, the reacquisition of Matt Spaeth being one of them, and, of course, David Johnson being another. That being said, I think we're capable of going in the draft and letting the draft come to us, if you will, at that position and others.
Kevin, when you look at the turnover that you mentioned that you guys have had, this year. Do you see this draft as being any more critical than drafts that you've had in recent years?
No. Every draft's been the same. And, you know, you can't we probably did have a few more departures than usual, but we still only have 8 picks. So every year we expect ourselves to get the right 7 or 8 players, however many we're picking. And when we do, great. When we don't, it hurts. And this, we go in with the expectations, like we do every year, that these players that we pick will be good, you know, good picks and good players. But it's really no more critical than any other year because, as I stated earlier, I don't see any players coming in and being immediate impact players. I think that, you know, if we lined up today with what we have, we'll have a chance. Now, we want to continue to add to that and let these players develop at their own pace. If they exceed that and they come in and start like a Pouncey did or a Casey Hampton, great. But, you know, we've had great players that had to sit and learn, and quite honestly, I would expect this group to be like that. If they exceed that, that's a bonus for us.
Kevin, what kind of safety net do you want to keep in terms of the cap when you go through the displacement, the draft, and then free agency when the season starts? Do you want to have $1.5 million or $2 million or less than that is comfortable?
You always want to have that cushion built in because the injuries will be part of it. In the past, we used to plan on 4 to 6 players per year that we would lose for the season. The past couple years, we've exceeded that. And, you know, the only thing we can do to prevent it is to, you know, make sure we're getting healthy players in the draft. Our own players, we hope that they've rehabbed to the point where they'll have a chance to be healthy. But in the event they aren't, we have to be ready from a cap standpoint. And you have to have something in some reserves in the bank to account for that, because every year it's inevitable you're going to lose a player for the season.
Last year you had plans of having Mike Adams at left tackle, but obviously he had to play right tackle. Still same plans, him being your left tackle this year?
Yeah, but Marcus Gilbert is left tackle capable as well. I think one of the things that we've learned through the trials of the 2012 season is both of those young men are capable of playing both spots. And, you know, we'll use the spring and the summer to sort out where we play those two at. But both guys have shown that they're capable of being viable left tackle and right tackle like candidates, talking about he and Marcus Gilbert.
Anything else?
Hey, Kevin, there's two veterans that weren't re-signed, Casey and Starks. Is the door totally shut on those two guys?
No, we haven't shut the door on anybody, quite honestly, if it was with us last year, because we don't know what we're going to come out of the weekend with. There may be still some signees from that group of players. And, again, it depends on how we fare out this weekend. I think they would prefer to wait as well, because they could sign a contract and end up behind a first-round draft pick. So we will keep those types of players in mind as we get through this weekend and see where things stand on Monday.
Anybody else?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.